How are you this morning? I'm Bruce Argyle. This is Community Conversations, our regular Thursday morning program. Thank you for joining us. If you're a first-time listener, thanks. And we know that you're going to really enjoy the program this morning, because this morning we've called it, well, easing back. And we've all been, haven't we, in this extended period of lockdown. I heard it said just recently that the hardest part of these seven-day lockdowns is just the first 6 weeks. But it's been tough. And we've all finally had a little bit of breathing space, and I've even been able to get away for a couple of days this last week. It has been tough, and those of us here in Victoria, we know all about it. So I thought this morning we'd call our program Ease Back, Ease Back. And so you'll see throughout the hour this morning lots of words starting with E, starting with escaping and exiting and ending lockdown. And yes, it's a good feeling, isn't it? But on the back of that, of course, comes the what's next question. You know, where are we heading? What does it look like? What has changed out there in the big wide world that we haven't been in for a little while? And so I thought this morning with my very special guest, all the way from Buxton, Megan. Good morning, Megan.
Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Isn't wonderful and wonderful.
Out of lockdown.
I know. And isn't that a great feeling?
It certainly is.
Yes, been way too long. We won't dwell on it now because we want to focus this morning on, well, what's next? Because, Megan, one of the biggest challenges here is re-motivating ourselves, re-envisaging the world going past lockdown and looking at what it looks like, whether that's for our community group that we're involved with, our not-for-profit organisation, our own family, our own whatever. I think what we're going to talk about this morning applies equally to all of those areas.
Yeah, for sure. And I know, you know, during the lockdown time, there wasn't much that we could do but talk to people and network and connect online or by phone. And over that time and recent times, I've been talking to a lot of not-for-profit organisations, and I think, you know, they're doing it tough. They're exhausted. They're over it. They're just really flat. So I thought it was a good time now to talk about, well, how do we get that motivation back? How do we get people re-engaging with our organisations and re-enthusing people about how to go forward over, I mean, who knows what the next 12 months is going to look like, but going into the good weather, you know, it's a good time to get out there and, you know, get some sun on your back and try and get re-engaged.
There you go. So we've decided for our first E this morning, embracing the future. Does that sound enticing? Are you motivated? How do we elicit the best possible behaviours and the best way going forward? Megan, you suggested to me off air that the very first thing we need to do is, in terms of getting motivated, is make it fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think, you know, this has came out of a conversation I had with a local community group up here, and, you know, in talking through with them, well, what does it look like going forward? I said to them, you know, so what do you, they do heaps of great things for the local community, but what do you actually do for yourselves? What do you do for your members, your committee? So how do you guys connect? How do you, you know, just have some fun with what you're doing, because it doesn't all have to be about meetings and working hard. I mean, it's great to see that they do that, and so many organisations do that. But, you know, what do we do to connect with each other and have that sort of sense of community, whether it's sort of through monthly dinners or weekly coffee catch-ups or special events of some sort, you know. And I'm conscious of the fact, you know, it doesn't even have to cost anything really. It could be, let's get together in the local park and have a picnic, or let's go to the local barbecue facility.
Been a long time since we've been able to do that, Megan.
I know. Isn't that novel? So just that idea of coming together, or, you know, let's all bring a plate to share and just sit out in the park somewhere and have a nice time. So whatever it is, I think it really, you need to get that element of fun into it so that people are more engaged and it sort of freaks their enthusiasm.
Mm. Megan, sometimes our groups, the organisations we belong to, we're so focused on the task, on the environment, the land care, whatever the particular focus of the group is, the purpose, that we do actually forget to have fun along the way.
Yeah, I think we do. And I think, you know, now more than ever, it's really important to remind ourselves of the need to do that.
I guess the temptation as we get out of lockdown, as we escape, is that we've got to do something big, we've got to do something huge. But in fact, it can be quite small. And perhaps, Megan, you know, small and more often is better than big and just one off.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. Because, you know, there's a lot of energy and a lot of work goes into creating a big event, whether it's a big gala dinner or, you know, a fundraising activity or whatever it might be. So, you know, if we can sustain ourselves as well, you know, for those of us who are having organised these things, if we can do smaller things, it's easier for us to organise. We're more likely to make that little bit of effort to make it happen. And it sustains the energy along a longer period of time. And it also sustains people's enthusiasm. You know, one big event's great and people come away from that feeling really, really positive. But if we can do lots of little things, whether, as I said, you know, weekly coffee catch-up or whatever it might be, you know, even if it's just, you know, I think about our land care group, you know, do we go for a walk in the bush somewhere nearby once a week, get together? So whatever it is, you know, if you can make it something that's smaller and done more often, I think it's going to have a longer-lasting, sustained effect and, you know, getting people motivated and feeling positive again.
You've joined us for Community Conversations this morning. My very special guest from Buxton via Zoom is Megan Buntine. We will be able to get together again in person soon, Megan, which will be absolutely fantastic. Yeah. And we're easing back into it today, talking about motivation and, well, haven't talked about it yet, but engagement and enthusiasm and all the E words today. Megan, we were saying just before that we've got to be motivated ourselves, don't we, before we can really motivate others or motivate our groups and so on. So what's the secret there, Megan? How do you motivate yourself?
Getting motivated yourself, I think, you know, sometimes whether it's getting up in the morning to go for a walk when it's cold or whatever it is that we don't want to do, I think often if you're struggling to be motivated yourself, I know a little trick that works for me at least is I tell myself, okay, I'll just do it for 10 minutes and then if I still don't want to do it, then that's okay, I can stop if I don't feel like going on service. You know, if I get up and I go for a walk for 10 minutes and I'm supposed to be going for 6Ks, it's like, okay, I'll just do the first 10 minutes. And, you know, rarely, in fact, I don't think I've ever come back after the 10-minute walk. So I think it's a little mind trick you can play on yourself, then I think you'll just about guarantee that you'll keep going. So whatever the trick is that you find that works for you, I think if we can help ourselves get motivated, you know, whether it's seeing the little successes, the little wins along the way, seeing other people get involved and enthused and enjoying themselves, you know, you get a bit of a buzz out of that yourself. So whatever it is that you do, I think there's ways that you can enthuse yourself first, then you can be sort of delivering whatever the value is that you add to your community organisation more easily.
Yes, and Megan, we all have our little tricks, don't we? I'm as you well know, a list person, so I make my lists and I always leave the things that I really want to do on the bottom of the list. So I've actually got to do those other things that I'm less inclined to do on the top of the list first, and that keeps me motivated. Thinking, oh yeah, there's a couple of good things coming up.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I think I'll have to use that one too. I like this idea that you're the sum of the five people who you spend the most time with. I think it was Anthony Robbins who coined that idea. So, you know, if you choose to surround yourself with upbeat, positive, motivated people yourself who you're drawing your energy from, then I think that helps you as well. And, you know, that might go beyond the people who you're actually physically spending time with. It could be, you know, who do you read, who do you listen to, who do you watch, podcasts, or people who you follow in other ways, so maybe on social media, for example. So, you know, be selective about who you spend your time with or where you spend your time and make it the positive, energising places and people rather than, you know, people who perhaps aren't going to do that.
When I first heard that from you, Megan, I dotted down the five people that I spend the most time with, you know, and that's a really interesting exercise just to actually stop and do that and to see whether they are people who build you up and encourage you and motivate you or conversely don't.
Yeah.
So should we go on and talk about engagement then, because we're all having to reconnect after this lockdown, Megan. We're all having to re-engage, reconnect, as we've just been talking about, re-motivate ourselves and the groups that we are involved with. But I know being strategic is something that's really important to you and comes through in all the work that you do. So we have to revisit our strategy here, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, another conversation that I've had with a number of not-for-profits over the recent months is about, well, how do we re-engage our volunteers? There are so many of our not-for-profit organisations are so reliant on their volunteers, and their volunteers, like everybody else involved with their organisation, are fatigued and just a bit over it. So, you know, I think being strategic about how you re-engage people, and not just your volunteers, you know, your staff team, if you're fortunate enough to have paid staff, or your committee or your board yourself. So, you know, plan out with the team, what are we going to do to get people more engaged and involved with the organisation? So this is where I think being really strategic, being a bit more formalised in the way we do it. So many of our not-for-profit organisations, particularly the smaller local community groups, they have great ideas, but not a lot of it actually gets down on paper and is quite planned out, strategic and more formal. And whilst I think, you know, people sort of, that puts some people off a bit, I think you've got to get over that and just recognise the benefits that come out of being quite formalised, writing stuff down. You know, we all know that if something's written down, you're much more likely to do it, follow through with it and achieve it than if it's just a great idea that's buzzing around inside your head. So
who leads that, Megan? Who's the driver behind that?
Look, I think that anyone on the committee can sort of, or the board can prompt that, but I think if it's not already happening within your organisation, maybe, you know, the chair or the president needs to take the lead role in that, or if you're not in that particular role and you think that it's important, you know, there's nothing stopping you putting your hand up and prompting your organisation to do that. But I think once you've worked out what your strategy is, you know, get your best people person to lead that work then. So if you've got somebody who's really bubbly and bouncy and gets people on board and takes them on a journey with them, you know, get them to lead that piece of work.
Fantastic. Lots of food for thought there. And talking about food, Megan, food is a great bringer together, isn't it? You know, to plan, to re-engage, to reconnect, to re-motivate.
Yeah, absolutely. I've used that as a bit of a strategy, bringing people together. You know, bring a plate, let's have a picnic, let's get together, let's have lunch at someone's place when we could do that. Mind you, I think we can again now, but only in small numbers. But, you know, some sort of way, even, you know, when I was in the workplace, you know, we'd have days where everyone would bring a plate, particularly in multicultural workplaces. That's a really exciting way to bring people together over food and different food that perhaps they haven't had the opportunity to have before. But I think that, yeah, food is always, it brings people together, whether it's a case of you decide you want to have a little bit of a strategy session to plan this engagement and you say, okay, we're going to put on lunch. You know, that usually encourages people, gets them across the line to come along and participate. So it's a bit of a bribe, but hey, it's a good bribe.
I think at the moment we can try anything that actually works, Megan. Hey, sometimes having a motivational speaker or someone who would bring the group together or a speaker who has, you know, a particular area of interest to people in the group?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I saw this happen between, you know, about 12 months ago after the last year's sort of cycle of lockdowns. One of the local land care groups brought a speaker along to talk about solar power and, you know, people just came out of the woodwork. So, you know, it doesn't have to really cost anything if you've got somebody within the ranks of your organisation who can just stand up and give you a bit of a spiel on what their area of expertise is for a short time. So, you know, that sort of thing is really useful as well, to give people that incentive to come out, to get engaged, to participate again.
You're listening to
or
me.
Even just as simple as a discussion topic, you know, you don't even have to have the speaker there. Just put a topic on the table and we'll all have a discussion about it.
There you go. You're listening to Megan Buntine, and Megan and I are talking this morning all the easing back, and we're talking currently about engagement. And you're with Bruce Argyle here on Community Conversations on Yarra Valley FM 99.1. Thanks for joining us this morning. We're talking all the ease today, easing back. And you will have picked up on a lot of E words because we're all exhausted after the escape and exit and ending of lockdown. And wow, we're embracing the future, aren't we, to just see what we can evoke. It's all very enticing, isn't it? And we've just been talking about engagement and empowering. And what can we envisage that really looks like. Megan, engagement, it's really important, isn't it, in this particular time that we also look after our mental health and the health of the group means that we're individually healthy as well.
Yeah, for sure. And look, I think through that engagement and getting people back involved and also looking after ourselves and, you know, thinking about how we can get more engaged too, you know, whatever the activities you do, if we can focus on activities that support good health, particularly good mental health, you know, that's really pertinent at the moment. You know, I mentioned before, maybe it's just getting together to go for a walk, whether it's around the park or out in the bush. You know, we all know that getting out in nature is really good for us. So it could also be that we'll look for some opportunities to do activities to do some good, whatever that might look like in the context of your organisation. So, you know, what might resonate with you? So, for example, it might be, you know, the local land care group decides, well, we're going to have our own little clean-up Australia Day and just go down to the local park and clean up, or go along the local creek and clean up down there. You know, another group might decide to, you know, volunteer in the local community garden, for example, or if you've got a soup kitchen or something that you can do, get out there, you know, doing good for other people always makes us feel good as well. So
yeah, and
I think, again, that's another way to energise people and get people more engaged.
And having fun, Megan, is something that is often lost, and particularly, you know, as we come out of this lockdown period, you know, things have been very serious and very restricted and very regimented and yes, you can do that. No, you can't do that, and so on. And so to get back into a space where we're having a bit of fun and our group is actually enjoying something together is just more important than ever.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, too, focusing on the simple things and often the simple things that make us feel good are the free things as well, things like getting out, going for a walk, catching up with people, you know, whatever it may be. It doesn't have to cost much or cost anything, really. So whatever those things are that help you to engage, help other people to engage, you know, think about what they are. And as I said before, be strategic about it. Really sit down, have a bit of a brain dump about, well, what are all the possibilities we could do here, and then sort of sift through that and work out, well, what things are we actually going to pursue?
Megan, I was part of the BirdLife Australia Backyard Bird Count just 2 weeks ago, and even that, counting birds in your backyard for 20 minutes, was kind of fun. You know, it was easily done, and I learned some things about some birds I didn't know before. So there you go.
Yeah, absolutely. Another good example of something you can do that costs nothing, and it's almost like a meditative practice, watching the birds and counting the birds and observing them. It sort of blocks out all the busyness and all the noise in your head.
Yes, yes. Let's race on and talk about another E, and this is also a big one, enthusiasm. And how do we harness the enthusiasm that people, well, may have lost a little bit along the way over the last 18 months? How do we regenerate that? How do we, well, create positivity, if I can use that word? You know, how do we actually go about that, Megan, as we come out of these more restricted times?
Look, I think one way that can be really effective to do that is ask for people's feedback on the events and the activities once you start doing those. I think there's a few reasons why this helps with enthusiasm. I think firstly, it gives you lots of, it can give you lots of positive stuff that you can share with others, and that you can sort of, it's almost like the positive generates more positive, doesn't it?
Yes.
So, and I think also it's about finding out for yourselves how you could do things better. Maybe something didn't work so well. So if you find out what the problem was, you can then put some steps into place to make sure either that it doesn't happen again or that you do that better next time around. I mean, as you know, I'm a bit of a continuous improvement junkie, so that's where my thinking lies on that one. So I think the other thing too is if there have been things that haven't gone so well, if you talk to people, if you find out about what their experiences were, just acknowledging and addressing that feedback can be enough to turn them around to be more positive about their experience with your group and more willing to engage more and to spread the word. So, yeah, making sure that people feel heard when something like that has happened.
And what are the best channels in your view, Megan, to allowing that to happen for a group? I mean, I have sadly, and I'm sure you have too, seen instances where a negative person or more than one negative people have overridden and just totally dampened the enthusiasm of the group or the activity that, that people are involved with. What's the most useful channel or forum or place, you know, for that to happen?
Yeah, look, I think it depends on who your audience is, but communicating the positives as widely as you can or as many mediums that make sense and are relevant to your audience. So oftentimes, you know, that's social media, I think, is a big one at the moment, but then there's different channels in that regard. It could be, you know, on radio, for example. It could be putting things in local community newsletters, hard copies that get circulated. So I think, again, you've got to have a bit of a multi-pronged strategy as to how you communicate that, where you communicate that. And, you know, getting back to what you're saying about sometimes you have the knockers, yeah, I mean, we all experience that in our community organisations. It's that notion that I think that you can't please all the people all the time. So it's, in my experience at any rate, it's about what do we do to flood the ears of our audience with the positive messages. And look, I mean, those people who are not so happy have probably possibly got some legitimate concerns. So again, go back, get the feedback, find out if there's a root cause there that we can do things better, that we can improve on things next time. But communicating as widely as we can on the, you know, the best mediums that suit different people, I think is you know, what you need to sort of think about for your organisation.
Mm. And Megan, at the heart of all of this is the challenge for all of us to be enthusiastic ourselves. And that has been, it's been tough over the last few months to be, you know, fired up and enthusiastic about, you know, life and groups and, well, just not being able to do a whole lot of things. So what's the, when we look at ourselves in terms of being enthusiastic, where does, I suppose it goes back to some of the things you were saying earlier.
Yeah, look, I think it's that idea of, well, just in the first place, just show up, you know, check your attitude a bit. Maybe you just need to put a smile on your face and walk in there, even though you might not feel so great yourself. But I think it's a bit like the let's go for a walk for 10 minutes when I'm wanting to go for a walk for an hour and see how I go in the 10 minutes. You know, I think usually if you throw yourself in and you start getting involved, that positivity starts to come in anyway, and you'll probably find before too long that smile on your face is becoming a genuine one, and you're actually getting absorbed in the activity that you're doing and having fun. So, yeah, I mean, look, there's no silver bullet to any of this stuff. It's about playing sort of those little tricks on yourself to try and get yourself more engaged, be more positive, set that tone, I guess, for other people around you, to some of that stuff will rub off.
You're listening to Megan Buntine, and we're talking, well, easing back and all the ease today, and we're talking engagement and enthusiasm and, well, embracing the future and so on. And if you do want to make contact with Megan or perhaps avail yourself or your group of some of the amazing resources that Megan has on her website, just go to, I hope I've got this right, Megan, www.mjbconsulting.net.au. And Megan's nodding, so that's good. And there's all sorts of free resources there. Megan obviously does a lot of work with community groups, not-for-profit organisations around strategy and planning and good governance and a whole lot of other things. So have a look at the website. And if you've missed community conversations the last couple of weeks or something like that, please go on to the Yarra Valley FM website and have a look at the podcasts. We had an amazing interview with Pamela Sutton Legault a couple of weeks ago about fundraising, and we spoke to her in relation to BirdLife Australia and their backyard bird count. And then last week we spoke with Neil, the CEO of Holy Fools, about, well, the amazing programs they're doing to support people who are doing it tough here in the Yarra Ranges. A couple of plugs for things coming up next Tuesday, the 9th of November at 12 noon. We have a bushfire risk and vegetation management live panel discussion happening in the Memo Hall in Healesville, but you can come in online. I should know all about it because I'm emceeing it, but we look forward to your company there next Tuesday, the 9th of November. And then some advance warning for the 26th of November, that's a Friday night, there is a trivia night at the RACV in Healesville. It's just $10. You can book a table if you want your group to come along. They're going to be prizes and all of that, and we'll learn a little bit about bushfires and things as well. That's hosted by the Healesville Community Bushfire Group and promises to be a great night. Next week, we're going to be talking, well, it's the 11th of the 11th, and we all know what day that is, and so we're going to be having a special focus on Veterans Day and Memorial Day, the 11th of November. We do have a special guest spot available on the week after, the 18th of November, so if you've got a story to tell or your group feels inclined, we'd love to hear from you and have a conversation with you about what your group is planning to do going forward after lockdown. That'd be fantastic. So we are talking this morning about all the easing back into normal life or something like that. And we've been talking about embracing the future, engagement and the importance of engagement and enthusiasm and just how important that is to the success of our group, our community organisation, or for that matter, our own lives and families. Megan, off air, we were talking also about this going forward, this notion of going forward for groups is just so important, and it's never been more important than right now.
Yeah, that's right. And look, I was thinking about, I wrote a blog recently just about this sort of stuff, you know, encouraging organisations to think about, well, what do we need to, just to get our ducks lined up so that going forward after lockdown, we're refocused, I guess, on what are the key important things for our organisation. So that 5-point governance checkup, I think, is a really good point to drop into. It's on my website, you mentioned before, the link there for the blog. So looking at key things like, okay, well, let's refocus on what is our purpose? What are we actually set up to do in the first place? So are we doing that and are we focusing on that going forward? You know, then looking at, well, in terms of our strategic plan and our financial planning, you know, have we got that all in order? Is that happening as it should be? Do we need to check in on some of that stuff there and make sure that we're doing the things we need to do? Also thinking about things like succession planning, you know, where are we at with our succession plan going forward? So whether it's we're about to have our AGM and we've got some key people who are stepping down from our organisation, you know, we need to find the people who are going to step in so that we have that smooth transition for our organisations. Risk management, another key area to think about. Well, what are the risks? Particularly, you know, COVID's thrown up some different risks for us, perhaps, with our organisations. What do we need to do differently to keep people safe, to make sure we're meeting our obligations? And the fifth area to cover, you know, to look in and think about, well, people and culture, what's happening in that space? Are our people our volunteers, or is it just our committee of management or our board that we're our key people in our organisation? Yeah. Do we have paid staff, perhaps? How are we supporting them? And we've talked about some of this stuff, particularly pertaining to volunteers already, but really thinking about, you know, our organisational culture has such a big impact on the people who we have in our organisation. So how do we make sure that's a positive thing for people to experience? So, yeah, just five, I guess, key areas that I thought were good for organisations to check in on, just do a bit of a regroup. So going forward after, you know, this challenging time, they're feeling that they've got things as good as they can be.
Mm. So Megan, perhaps what you're saying, putting words in your mouth, is that now would be a good time for an organisation to go back to their statement of purpose, their strategy, and just to say, hey, what do we exist for? What are we, you know, as we close on the end of 2021, you know, why are we here? What are we doing? What are we trying to do? And how do we do it together? You know, some of those key questions.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, in doing that, it can re-energise that sense of purpose. What are we here for? How do we add value to our community? What do we need to be checking off that we're doing things so that we're not just floating along? You know, I mean, I know, and I'm sure you have too, over time I've sat on boards and I've sat on committees where you just feel like you're just floating along. But how can we sort of really be, I guess, if you're getting the achievements that you want to achieve, that sort of feeds back into that enthusiasm. And it's a bit of a cycle, isn't it? Once sort of things start going well, it generates more positivity and you're setting off on that that enthusiasm and energising people along the way.
My special guest here on Community Conversations is Megan Buntine. And Megan, that's an interesting song, isn't it? I get knocked down and get back up again.
Absolutely. I thought that was a good one for today's conversation. Going forward, we're all going to get up and sort of be more positive and keep going.
Fantastic. So inherent in that is that we need to somehow acknowledge, affirm, give feedback to people about their value, celebrating achievements along the way, acknowledging years of service, all of that. What are your thoughts about the most effective way of celebrating, elevating, I suppose, for another E word, people's contribution?
Yeah, look, I think even in normal times we don't do this enough. We all get so focused on doing the work and the doing that we forget to celebrate what we've actually achieved. We forget to look back and say, you know, we've actually got done quite a lot in the last 12 months or whatever the period is. So, you know, coming up to the end of the year, I think it's a really good time to sit down and think about, well, what can we celebrate? You know, I'm sure there's some things that your community organisations continued to, well, even if it's just that you survived, and you have a statistic along the way in the last 18 months to 2 years. So, you know, it might be a case of having to sit down with your team and have a bit of a brainstorm about, well, what can we celebrate going forward? So, you know, again, have an end of year Christmas get together, keep it simple, have fun. And reflect on, you know, what you've done, the fact that you've survived, and you're going to go through and do fabulous things in the new year.
Well, why don't we do it more often? I mean, it seems a logical, easy thing to do, Megan. Why don't we do this more often?
It's funny, isn't it? I think as human beings, we're hardwired to see the negatives rather than the positives, and maybe that worked for us when we were living out in the savannah and trying to avoid saber-toothed tigers. But nowadays, I think, you know, we need to sort of try and circumvent that instinctual behaviour and focus on the positives, because there's so much to be gained in doing that. It's really, go back to the start, hey, it's motivating, it creates energy, it creates enthusiasm, it gets people engaged.
So Megan, I'm thinking the full sort of range of things that we can do. Everything from an emoji with a smiling face for something that someone's done well, all the way to a 10-year service as a volunteer, and a whole lot of things in between. There's so many ways we can do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Simple things are often the best. You know, I think back to, gosh, this is probably 20-plus years ago, I had a particular manager, and whenever, you know, we'd done something at work and it was a little bit out of the ordinary and we'd come out the other side of it, well, you know, there'd be a thank you card sitting in your pigeonhole next time you went into the office to pick up your papers, and just little things like that. And I think, you know, that was one thing that I learned from, one particular thing I learned from her and sort of carried on with me, you know, that simple acknowledgements go a long way and people feel valued, they feel heard, they feel recognised. So, you know, it doesn't have to be the gold watch at the 10-year anniversary necessary, but that's still nice.
And if you want to make contact with Megan, have a look at some of the amazing resources that she has free on her website, www.mjbconsulting.net.au. Megan, we've covered a lot this morning, easing back into it after lockdown, and we've talked about embracing the future. We've talked about engagement. We've talked about enthusiasm, and we've talked about elevating and celebrating events and achievements. Easing back in's not so easy, Megan, after we've been, out of action for a while.
Yeah, I think, you know, you get, even though it wasn't necessarily the desired situation to be in over the last few months, you do get into a bit of a routine, don't you? So coming out of that, you've almost got to really consciously bring yourself out of that to get back to, some semblance of normality.
Yes, and re-motivate and refocus, yeah. And well, if we're part of a community group, whatever, recommit to the purpose of the group is part of it, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, getting out and about. And I think, you know, even now, a lot of people that I'm talking to are quite hesitant about that, even though we don't necessarily have the restrictions. So it's how do we sort of do that with some confidence going forward? And, you know, if we can focus on what we can do to add value to our communities, I think that's a really good place to start.
Fantastic. And that's a good place to finish, Megan. Thank you so much for your input this morning. And I've enjoyed having a conversation with you over Zoom. Looking forward to being able to do that in person soon. Thanks for sharing your insights and being a part of our program this morning.
My pleasure. You're welcome.